Hey, welcome everybody to the November episode of the Making Progress podcast. This is where we take a deep dive into what's happening all around the BMA of Texas as we unpack the latest issue of the Baptist Progress. And so welcome. This month's episode is sponsored by the Texas GMAs. The Texas GMA is our organization of young ladies that from fourth grade to up to 12th grade, they're committed to growing in the relationship with Jesus Christ and through missions, meaningful relationships, and a commitment to becoming the godly women that God has called them to be. And so we are so honored to have them as our sponsors this month. And so we have a great show in plan for everybody this month. And so my name is Chris Driver, and I'll be your host. And as always, I'm honored to be able to have with me my boss, the BMA of Texas Missions Director and resident expert of all things BMA, I like to say. And so, he is the unparalleled, consummate professional, Heath Mitchell. So welcome, Heath. We're glad you're with us this morning.
Man, this list of title is growing.
You got to live up to it now.
One of these days, you're going to tell the truth.
Yes. but also an honor, a special honor to have with us today. So our special guest, husband, father, leader, and soon to be published author.
Wow.
The president of the Texas Baptist Home for Children, Jason Curry. So welcome, Jason. So
thank you. My pleasure to be with y'all today. Let's talk about making progress in the BMA, at TBHC, college. What we're doing with the progress, everything. Let's just make progress all around.
Absolutely. Going to be a great episode. But I actually had a chance to spend the evening with you and your family a couple of days
ago.
Sorry. Man, it was so exciting. It was a blast. I had a great time, man. A lovely family, amazing family.
And thank you.
But you really get to know somebody when you get to spend time with their family, because they reveal secrets about you.
They do.
And so, so I learned something really interesting, and I think it'll come up a bit later on.
You were going to share it with all of us?
Yeah,
wonderful.
I think so.
There's pictures that will make me react, so there you go. Triggers,
I have
you could
never
say.
Had anybody, I've never seen anybody that was afraid of cold, of other people being cold.
That
was,
yes.
So we'll talk about that in a minute. So, so as we do, let's go ahead and just jump into it, guys. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, so let's talk about the progress, this issue of the November progress. And so front page, we kind of chronicled a really exciting happening at Jacksonville College, but impacted as well Central Baptist College. Mm-hmm. And so they are making a expanded pathway between the schools. So what have you heard about that?
Oh, just... Man, it sounds great, doesn't it? That I just love to see cooperation. I never like politics and love when Christians act like Christians and family acts like family. And to see Jacksonville College and Central Baptist just enter into this partnership that I think is going to be so good for both of them, but more so good for BMA young people.
Yes.
You know, who would go to these two schools, who could share resources. The college already has this unprecedented new partnership with the seminary, and now we add to that Central Baptist College to where a student could pass between them, could take classes between them. A student at Jacksonville College could take online classes they need at Central Baptist College.
Yeah,
our Jacksonville College, who is expanding their offerings right now and just rolled out their first four-year degree with the promise that there's more to come just across the next years, but to recognize that there are opportunities already at Central Baptist that a student could take advantage of while at Jacksonville. Man, in the 90s, when I was at Jacksonville College, or just when I was young in ministry, there was such a competition between those two schools. And it was almost like stat of our space, we'll stat of yours. Mm-hmm. And so I just love the spirit of this and celebrate that today.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do.
I mean, we see so many times in churches that same mentality you talk about of competition, that we're afraid, you know, that somebody's going to get our, you know, people, or, you know, we'll cooperate in so many ways because, man, what if they like them a little bit better and they go over there? But, I mean, to view you know, students as, you know, kingdom, you know, they belong to God, not belong to us. And so to see this cooperation and as Associational Baptist, you know, to have a cooperation like this, I think it's big. It's, we see it. I mean, you know, I'm from, you know, West Texas, and our little hometown college, South Plains College, they have a partnership with Texas Tech and that works the same way. And so to see that there and now to be able to say, hey, man, we can do the same thing, I think it's big. I think it shows, you know, so many more opportunities and gives them to those kids.
It speaks to leadership. I mean,
yes,
you got both of the presidents, Jeremy and David, and they're both saying things like, you know, it achieves their academic and spiritual goals. And then David says, you know, it's the partnership gives students clear pathways to achieve their educational goals through two faithful, conservative Christian colleges.
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, the leadership aspect of saying, hey, this is something that's valuable, it's important to do. You can't put a value on that either. It's one of those things we always talk about at TBHC is what is it that you're trying to achieve with this, you know?
Yes.
And it's a testimony is what it really is.
Sure
it's
is.
An opportunity to talk about there is more to this story than just a pathway.
Absolutely.
It's a testimony of what God can do through two organizations that are here for kids.
And I think the idea of the leadership in particular, I mean, that's where it has to start.
That's right.
You know, leaders being willing to say, hey, man, it's bigger than us, right? And especially when you're talking about Christian schools and getting a Christian education that, you know, those are few and far between, especially conservative.
Yes.
I mean, there's lots of Christian education out there, but I mean, it's not always conservative.
Yeah.
And so to be able to partner together and for these leaders to recognize, you know, that partnership can benefit both.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, it's kingdom work. And I think that's where we have to get back to is just understanding that ultimately it is kingdom work and that God knows lots of people. And so he can fill both colleges
that's
to
right.
overflowing if he
that's
wants.
Right. So all the cattle on all the hills.
That's it. And all those kids too.
That's right.
So I love it. So, man, we're excited. I mean, I think, you know, speaking again, I think this is to Jacksonville College, and I'm so excited because, I mean, again, the testament to leadership there that Dr. Erickson has brought, I mean, just so many, you know, great decisions and wise decisions him and the trustees have made over, you know, the last couple of years. I mean, that to see the progress that they have made and just how healthy it seems to be and the direction it's going, it's so exciting. I'm so excited for that. And, man, I just can't help but believe that there's not, you know, even more bigger and better and awesome things coming.
I mean, absolutely. Honestly.
So, all right. So, second story this month was one that's it seems a little late coming in because this is the November issue, but we're talking about, we had someone write an article about pastor appreciation, which was supposed to happen in October, but, you know, we wanted to emphasize it's not too late to appreciate your pastor,
right?
You may have missed the month, but listen, the need to appreciate your pastor is still there. And so we had a young lady write a great article about just some practical ways to bless your pastor. Maybe, you know, thinking ahead to next year, getting prepared for there, but also maybe it's time to do it now.
It this month.
Don't miss out on it. You
know,
if you haven't already, do it. I mean, I know my church, my little Oasis church, and this was the first year, so we planted it 4 years ago, you know, but we have started with, you know, mostly unbelievers, people who are far from Christ, people who are out of church, who really don't have a lot of those traditions like pastor appreciation, don't recognize and understand those things. So this year, they did that for me, and it was exciting, and so they just, you know, had a big card basket, and which means more to me than anything, you know, in this particular stage of where we're at to hear, you know, the difference that we've been able to make in their life and impact that the church
That's
has
wonderful.
Had. And so great stories, man. It's exciting.
Well, one of the things that struck me was how do you, the pastor who's reading this particular article, translate this to your congregation?
Yeah.
And my one suggestion is, you just flip open the progress and you just set it down for all to see. And maybe it'll spark something next year. Yeah, maybe highlight a spot. This is the one I like.
I like,
fishing rod, whatever your
hint. I sure wish my congregation would do this.
Yeah. But, you know, subtle hints. If you're a church member, this would be an incredible spark for you to say, we're going to own this next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're the pastor, there's so many things that y'all go through on a daily basis. You know, you know the daily grind of it. And this is a celebration of what you do, not just a, oops, we forgot it. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's the power of it, you know, as a pastor, I mean, you do so many things throughout the year, throughout the days, and you guys know this, you know, that you don't always see the fruit of, right? You know, there's no, you know, immediate gratification for it, you know, so, you know, that's why a lot of us love to do things like mow the lawn or vacuum or whatever, because, I mean, you can see what you've done, you know, you can see the fruit of it. And so to have these moments where, you know, you see or hear from the congregation of, you know, how much, you know, you've done, because it's difficult and it's a burden and it weighs heavy. And so to take those times to love on our pastors and
love it. And you know, Paul said that the pastor is that the office of pastor is worthy of honor. Mm-hmm. And I've always seen pastor's appreciation as a chance for a congregation to practice that, to honor that office, to honor that position. Yeah. Man, I've heard just some of the best stories. I mean, the cards mean so much. Brother Gary over at Palmer, I know he is entering into a chaplaincy program, and his church surprised him with his chaplain uniform. They had bought it for him and presented it for him with pastor's appreciation. I know Brother David Lopez in Spanish. I heard his church surprised him with a lunch and also had cards and a little gift for him.
I have every card given to me.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
As a pastor.
Yes,
I do too.
Still in my office.
Absolutely. And probably still some of those canned goods that I got pounded with the very first one.
What's the pounding? Yeah. They all came over with their fists, right?
This old-fashioned pounding. I've seen pictures of that. It sounds painful.
I'm like, oh, man. I was a little worried. I was just a youth minister. I didn't grow up in church, so I'm like, I don't know what's about to happen. So.
But every one of these things in this picture, that's exactly up my alley.
One year for me, we had just had our oldest, Allison, as a baby, and so Friendship Baptist in Mesquite pounded us with diapers, and I filled the car with diapers, filled a closet with diapers, convinced I'd never need another diaper.
Yeah, you were wrong.
That lasted just a little while.
Right. But what a blessing! I mean, especially
six weeks not having to buy diapers was great.
It was great. Yes.
Amen to that. The point of that is, it's not too late. It's never too late. And you don't have to designate 1 month, but just make sure, we appreciate those guys and say thank you to them and their families. I mean, and because, we know it's not just the pastor. I mean, his whole family's in this together. And so to bless them and let them know they're blessed is big deal. Amen. So takes us to missions, man. I mean, it is literally our middle name. So
it is.
So talk to us about some missions. What's going on?
Man, the Lord's so blessing. The guys reported 30 saved this month. And if you look over these articles, you're seeing so many of those testimonies. Man, an amazing testimony from Oasis. Y'all had a salvation you've been praying for some time.
For 4 years.
Four years.
As part of our service, you know, every week we have a time when we stop and I have them write a name of someone in their life, their sphere of influence, or a family friend, neighbor, whoever it might be, that doesn't know Jesus, that they would love for them to come to know Jesus. And so we just make it practical, write down the name and pray for that. And so one of our young ladies, who's been with us almost from the very beginning, she's prayed for her husband for 4 years to come to Christ. And about a month ago now, He showed up for the very first time with her at the service. And, you know, he told us, you know, the next week when he came, he said, you know, he gave his testimony, but he said, I was sitting here, I opened my phone and I said, man, I can make it an hour and a half. I can do this, you know? And so he was just pumping himself up. He can endure this. And, he said before the service was over, God had already begun to move in his heart and he was crying. He didn't know what was going on. And he's like, I don't know what's happening to me.
Yeah.
Goes home. Has, you know, his wife play some music and, you know, share some of those songs again with me. And again, he's just bawling. He said that she just got in the middle of the living room floor. They got on their knees and man, he just prayed to receive Christ. And man, he is a changed guy. And I mean, it's amazing, man. He is so excited, on fire, just wants to know more, hungry. But again, I mean, this is that testimony of, of just, you know, faithfulness of a wife.
So good.
That would pray and live out her faith in front of her husband, an unbelieving husband, and man, God did a work. And so, man, it's super exciting. And I mean, our church is just super excited for them, and we all got to celebrate.
It's that's cool. Awesome.
So we're baptizing him actually this Sunday. So,
yeah.
I like that. Everything about your story was relational. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
Christ.
Man, highlighting a couple of prayer requests in here. Kevin Williams saw a lady come to Christ who's having surgery either today or tomorrow. I think it's an artery clean out. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you know, she's recently saved. No one in her family is. And so let's join him in lifting her up through this procedure. And with excitement, Brad Colley, Redemption's Table down in Cedar Park. This church, for probably the last 2 months among the missionaries, Brad was just asking everybody, I'm frustrated, pray, our young church, for my people to share their faith. And man, in the article here, but also he's just so excited about this, the real stories of his people catching just the burden and passion and sharing their faith with others. And he tells the story in here of one older couple who have shared their faith this month with a Hindu couple and with a man who's agnostic, and have started a small group within an apartment complex along with several other couples. And so we're celebrating that answer to prayer and that victory with Brad.
Yeah, and I think that seems to be kind of a theme, you know, here. This, and we're going to talk about, you know, world missions in a little bit, and the idea of it takes time.
Yep. Yes.
Right. And I mean, to not give up on relationships and prayer and continuing to share the gospel. I mean, I think it's something that sometimes we, again, want immediate results, and, you know, lives take time to change sometimes.
Sure,
I'm sure God, sometimes, it's an instant, but many times it is an ongoing relationship of love and dedication and commitment and just continuing to be relational with people and not give up on people and to make sure that we're faithful over a length of time, you know, and not just, once and, you know, one and done, but to continue to do that. And so we see that idea of being faithful over time and letting God do work.
I think it speaks to what Kyle is talking about in the back. He said, God has given me and others in our church greater courage in initiating conversations with strangers to offer assistance or prayer, to invite them to church.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we're all supposed to be doing.
Yes.
We're all supposed to be inviting people, not to church specifically, but to a relationship.
Into a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know, you invite people over to your home, not to feed them a meal, but to build relationship. Mm-hmm, you go out to lunch to build relationship.
Yeah.
Invite them to church to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. So
anyway,
just appreciate that prayer request, because that's what all of these men and women are doing. So he just put it in a way I liked this particular week.
Yeah, and Kyle is. I mean, and that's one of his things that he's been waiting for the church to get it. You know, I mean, and they're fairly. I mean, they're just a couple of years in. I mean, it's. You know,
culture.
We've got to build culture and then give God time not only to work on the lost, but also on our people, you know, to be faithful to learn to be faithful to the gospel and embrace the Great Commission. And so it does take time, and we got to be patient. So it's cool, though, that when you start seeing fruit, I tell you what, it is it's exciting when it's no longer you as a pastor just doing it, but your people have got it, and they're the ones you know, inviting people. They're the one praying with people. Mm-hmm. They're the ones, you know, sharing the gospel with people. And so it's that proud papa moment, you know. It's like, you're like, all right, good job. You know?
So much sweeter.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely.
And excitedly, all 21 of your current supported missionaries are expected to be at the BMA Texas meeting mm-hmm. with us mm-hmm. next week. So
awesome.
You'll get to see them all there. A lot of their families will be with them, but we're sure looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's always a great time for us to get to see them.
And, sure is.
Because Texas is a big state. Sometimes we don't get to spend time with them. So
yeah.
Let's see. So I hope we'll see everybody, all you pastors and your families as well. So come on out. And so, all right. That brings us to TBHC. So I think we know somebody that might know a little bit about that.
We might.
Yeah. There's a little bit.
You know. Might even have it on his shirt.
Yeah. Let me just jut out a little bit here. The article this month, there's something very exciting going on where I've had it on my heart for a while. And how do we engage the community? How do we engage others to realize that this is still a place of prayer, to ask God to make a difference mm-hmm. in what we're doing. And I don't want to be in desperation to call out to the Lord, but how do we invite people to come and be a part? And I guess thank God for Facebook and Zoom and all the ways we can do events. Mm-hmm. So we're not limited to doing a prayer service in our chapel.
Good.
We can invite everyone to be a part.
Yeah.
So December 9th at 4:30 p.m., we're going to be doing a prayer service. And we're praying about specific needs that are going on, urgent needs, and just inviting you to be a part of it. We're going to try to get some local individuals to show up as well. But that is an intentional effort to publicly declare that, you know, this isn't a ministry that is done outside of the Lord.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
You know, God is in the midst of what's happening. Mm. And so this has been on my heart for several years of how do we do this? How do we express it? And this seems like a really neat way to engage all of the people who already support us and love what we do.
Yeah.
And they can be present without showing up in person.
Absolutely.
So that's what's going on with this particular month's article for me.
I love that. Yeah.
How will we connect? Facebook?
It'll be a Facebook Live event.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're already watching what's happening on our Facebook page, you can look up TBHC Foster Care and Adoption, and our Facebook page is there, and you can follow, and we will go live, and we'll talk about that leading up to that 4:30 time frame.
Okay.
But yeah, keep an eye on Facebook. That's where we'll go live, and everyone can hop on wherever they are, or walk across the street, for example, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'd love for that, and we'll have it ready.
And you said you can pray for specific needs right now, urgent needs that are happening.
So. Yeah, I'll tell you, right now, end of year, what's really on my heart is to pray that we'd have foster parents rise up.
Yeah.
And it's something that we ask for, we engage with, but, you know, to have our churches start to pray with us for it, to feel that urgency. I could go into a long conversation about how many kids are waiting for us, but there are kids in every county that need a place.
Yes.
And we no longer are an orphanage.
Right. Yes.
So that's important to say out loud. It's important to get. But what that means is it's private people in their private homes, mm-hmm. but not private, but publicly in their church.
Yes. Right.
Right. So it's still having that family there. And I don't want to look outside the church ever.
Yeah.
And we need the church, you know, to step up. So that's the prayer, that one of the topics we will pray specifically about is that families would step up, and that there would be an urgency in their own heart, so we don't have to go begging, that God would be stirring people. And as soon as they hear about TBHC, it's like, that's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah. It sounds a lot like, you know, when Jesus told them to pray to the Lord of the harvest, you know, he'd send out workers. But I mean, and don't be surprised when the first name called is yours.
Yeah.
So if we were to gather people together and begin to pray, who knows that some of those people they're praying for, they might be go, that's me. That's me.
Yeah.
That would be the prayer that, people watching would recognize, you know, that maybe God has put that on their heart.
Yeah. And it's not for the faint of heart. That's for sure.
No, definitely not.
So.
We We'd invite anybody watching this to encourage others in their church to participate in in this prayer day. I look forward to being there and a part of it.
Thank you.
I was noticing across the page here, I always notice the, man, all of the people who so faithfully give gifts to the home in memorial or in honor of, and saw Brother David Snelson. Love Brother David. He is a wonderful pastor of Landmark Baptist in Cushing. Been there a long time.
Yeah.
But somebody gave an honorarium for him this month, along with so many in here.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, faithfulness to give. I mean, we, you know, you always, I know as church and, you know, ministry, sometimes you always hate to talk about money.
I love it.
There's sometimes you get shy about it.
But I'm not asking for me.
Exactly. It takes, I mean, you know, we know these things take money. And so, you know, all those things go to, like you said, something that's kingdom oriented. And we want to make sure that it's always kingdom oriented.
Always.
So the kingdom is funding it. And so, I definitely love that. So thankful for those people that give so generously.
Yep.
Because it is an amazing, amazing ministry.
Well, thank you.
So thankful for it. And so our next article is really about that, honestly. And I think you kind of almost tapped into it just now. You started talking about, you know, the change that has happened. It's no longer a home. And so in response to that, you wrote a book.
I did.
You wrote a book.
That's crazy to think about. Some of y'all don't know, but I mean, I'm dyslexic.
Oh.
I learned to read at 14. There's a long story that is not in the book.
Yeah.
But my mommy cares about that part of the story. You know, it's really significant. So for this to have occurred, and for God to have orchestrated it, still blows me away. It was something was stirring in me when I started that TBHC needed to articulate what we were doing a little bit better. And so the name change that has been in the progress already and is about to be presented next week, or by the time this comes out, whenever that is. When I started thinking about that, God just really laid on my heart. I needed to sit down and I needed to articulate that to the donors. So this started as a, as you quoted in here, I think, a love letter to donors.
Yeah.
And I wrote and I kept writing and it seemed like it needed to be more. Because everywhere I go, the conversation always steers to orphanage. Mm-hmm. You know, we just love the orphanage. We love the home. And it becomes an educational opportunity. Yeah. And I lean into it because when do you have these conversations? When God presents them. Mm-hmm. So sitting down and talking about how we're not an orphanage anymore.
Yeah.
What's healthier is as normal a environment as possible, getting them into homes. And so spending time with that, God just really opened my eyes to the innovation that has happened in our ministry over the years.
Yeah.
And every single time God put men and women in leadership roles, that he raised them up to do something innovative that was best for kids. And so here we are at a similar season, and we're being called on to be innovative and do something that I hope will transform kids' lives and continue to point them to Jesus. Yeah. And I don't want to shy away from that, but that means change.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason for the book is change is going to come no matter what. No matter what happens, change is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to participate in a meaningful way, or are we going to observe it? And once that answer came to me, which is we're going to be meaningful, it became something really special. So the other thing that I already shared with you is there was a moment when I wrote the first draft that I discovered this book had more than just a love letter to our donors. That there's something that I could pull it up just a little higher and talk about for every believer.
Yes.
Every Christian. And once I discovered that, the book kind of found its place.
Yeah.
And I was able to navigate it well. So I'm excited about this. This has been a long journey for it to be so short. But still something I'm very excited to be able to share with everybody.
Can't wait to see it.
So talk real fast about the name change. And I think most people have been aware of it, but in case somebody hasn't heard, you know, that we're really just changing one letter.
That's right.
But so talk about that for just a second.
Yeah. So Texas Baptist Home for Children was coined, and C.B. Stanley was involved in that name change back in the 50s. And what a meaningful name change it was at that time.
Absolutely.
To say, hey, not orphanage, home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's been discussions through the years about what that would be and how home doesn't really describe the location.
Yeah.
And I want to really help everyone understand that what we're trying to accomplish for children isn't a location. It's either an idea or it's a relationship.
Yes.
It's hope. And hope comes from homes. You could make a huge argument for everything to just stay the same, but to give a new vision for opportunity for a change is necessary to communicate to the world, to the community, and to the kids who come into our care.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't want to divorce home Mm-mm. from what we do.
No.
We are definitely continuing to give homes to these children.
Yeah.
Every family would probably argue that that's not something we're ever going to give up.
Right.
But the idea and the opportunity for a hopeful future.
Absolutely.
Why couldn't we give that to
you? Yeah, that speaks to me so much, you know, that in that moment. You know, because a lot of times we think of foster care and, you know, long term, but there are some of these that are not there long term.
It's lifelong.
It's, you know, some of it's lifelong. Some of it is a moment in a just a tragic moment or a really painful moment. And in that moment, the greatest thing you could give them is hope. I mean,
that's
there's a way out of this or that there's a way through this. You know, that, you know, hopefully, you know, in that maybe my own mom and dad can get right. You know, and not to just do away with that. And we've talked about that mm-hmm. that there's ultimately got to be, and I think, you know, this hope, you know, that God can change even those people.
That's right.
I mean that those families, those original families, that God can change them. God can give hope to restore you know, that child's family.
That's right.
And to not give up on that either. And so there's hope, because I know me growing up, I didn't grow up in a foster care system, but did have abuse, did have, you know, some things there that in my greatest hope as a child was, you know, I just wish my dad would somehow come through it. That my dad would somehow, you know, want me and want to be in my life, you know. And so so I know that, you know, at the heart of every child is that, you know. And then if that's not possible, that, man, God could provide a better solution.
Absolutely.
You know, and better way and home. And so hope is such a powerful word in that moment.
Yeah. Well, we act like a lot of times that changing circumstances is the solution.
Yeah.
And circumstances, I don't know about you, but almost never in my life have circumstances improved.
Yes.
I'm just in them.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. And so we putting a child from a devastating situation with their family and putting them into a home that's stable, loving, that circumstance change has not changed their heart.
No.
It has given them a chance.
Exactly.
Title of the book. But anyway, it's given them a chance. And that's what we all need to understand, I think. The biblical narrative here is just that God didn't come to make bad people behave good. He came to make dead people live.
Yes.
And I was dead mm-hmm. in my transgressions.
Yes.
And, you know, for our kids that are coming into care, for them to face the reality of their situations, because the circumstances aren't necessarily going to change for the better.
Yeah.
But there is a God in heaven who loves them through it.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's it.
Well, and that's where I see progress, mm-hmm. such progress in what you are doing. I mean, I see it as such a forward move, because the home was has been amazing, and it's had impact, and it's had its place. But the new plan means that this hope is this hope of the gospel is delivered in homes.
That's right.
Across the state that are connected to
churches.
To mm-hmm. good churches.
Absolutely.
So the idea that these students will be in a home that connects them to a loving local church body, and they're going to get to hear the gospel readily and be adopted and loved by that greater family and get to experience, man, you'll know your mind by your love for one another. Mm-hmm. They get to witness that and be up and it's progress. I think it's progress. And I know there's a shift. I know we need so many to adopt, but I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the hope, and I think you guys covered it there, is the hope of every child is, you know, comes from whatever the circumstance comes from Christ.
That's right.
So for that to be, you know, and that's, again, we talk about wanting to keep it, making sure that it's kingdom and never going outside of that and always looking from within the church and, you know, and believers, because, I mean, that is the hope that they need regardless, because that will transcend if they go back to their normal family. Hope goes with them. The hope of Christ can go with them. If they stay with an adoptive family, hope of Christ goes with them, you know, and so that's the difference maker. It's Christ. And
that's
so
him.
I love the name change and love it, like, you know, he said, just the direction and this forward movement. I mean, it's amazing. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So
me too.
Yeah. But we're back to Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
This time, man, I love it, man. So they started sending us some athletics. So I love sports, and so I'm all about it. And so I you know, for them to send us an athletic fall recap, and it's exciting too to know. I mean, because, I mean, these are things that are important to kids and what's happening. And, you know, we also talk about, you know, many times for so long was, you know, certainly the choir, you know, I mean, that was a big part of Jacksonville's history and how they kind of, but there's some athletes out there too, man, and they're doing great. Got some great stories here. And the most shocking one there is the cross country finished their national meet.
What
in the
are
snow.
They doing in Iowa in the snow? Some of them aren't wearing enough.
No,
pants.
All these pictures of shorts in the snow,
freezing cold.
Yeah, they're tough. That's
they didn't expect that.
I'm sure
that,
you would have done that as a young person.
No, I would have done that as a young person.
Not tomorrow. Yeah. Not 3 years ago. Snow. No snow.
Yeah, I did. I
mean, that's very young people now, though. Long sleeve shirts and shorts.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
yeah.
You could just cover the top.
Yeah, and in the summer too.
And in the summer too.
Regardless.
But how about finishing 11th in the nation?
Yes, it's exciting.
Wow.
They are doing, I mean, they're killing it. And it's, I mean, the golf team, again, I think that indoor driving range and simulator is paying dividends, man.
Seems like,
you know, we've got
one young lady. You talk about that because you're just itching to get up there and play with that.
One of these days, I'm going to get over there. I'm going to take the sticks and get over there and play in it. And so I'm get to play on it. So it's, but it is exciting.
David, it sounds like a great fundraiser idea to me.
Yeah.
Yes. You might not be the only person who'd like to play with it.
That's right.
I mean, I've got ideas. Contact me, David. Yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, absolutely. And soccer team obviously doing well as well. And so, but it's exciting because, again, you know, sports are, you know, you're bringing a lot of these athletes in. And I know that many of them are Christians, but there's a lot of them that aren't. And they're coming from places and they're getting exposed, doing the thing they love to do and they're good at, but also being exposed to Christ, to Christian, to, you know, Christian life and, you know, seeing their peers live out their faith, you know, and that's such an important, you know, part of that growing process as a teenager and into that young adult stage is seeing your peers live out. It's not just mom and dad or it's not just grandma, grandpa, but, you know, it's something, you know, people can be passionate about it at their age. And so to be on a campus where that's being focused on and lived out, you know, on the field. And my favorite picture is the one, you know, the soccer team praying together and just, you know, you'd love to believe that all of them are saved, but maybe they're not. But maybe they're being exposed to that by the coaches and their lifestyle and their love for
them. I think
they
definitely are. I bet that soccer coach, I've heard his heart. He's sharing Jesus.
Absolutely. I know that's true.
Amazing to me on the ladies' golf team, there's a young lady from Tomball, I think her name is Paige Hill, who is currently ranked fifth in the nation.
In the nation. I guarantee you.
Wow.
That's pretty good. Shooting, you know, 76, and then you got them shooting 72, and some of them under par, and I'm like, hey, come on. So let me go practice with those guys. They got it figured
good
out.
Good teachers.
So. Amen to that.
Well, I mean, and just we keep talking about educating kids, and I feel like there's a lot of things that you get out of the classroom.
Yes.
But the game of life is pretty much lived out
Absolutely.
In sports.
Yeah.
And if you have a coach who will speak life into you and push you, challenge you, but also nurture you. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what we're seeing, and that's
Absolutely.
Something to celebrate for sure.
Sure is.
Absolutely. I love it, I love it, I love it. Hope they'll keep it up, and I just keep getting better. I'm expecting that. So this is the month for our Mission World insert, and so we have from the BMA Global, we have that in LifeWord. They present some stories every other month, and so we had them come. John David sent his article there, just really centering this issue on the fact that the gospel changes everything.
Yes.
You know, and I think there's several stories as we dive into it, you know, some really special stories of lives that are transformed in yes. not just eternal ways, you know, but certainly even in the life that they're living here, especially.
Absolutely.
Their lifestyles change.
Yes.
I mean, and so two really exciting stories I love to read about, you know, the one from the Middle East mm-hmm. and Maynard's story. I'm probably terrible at messing
I would have guessed the same. Both of us may be wrong.
That. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, a great story there.
It was.
A young lady, you know, widowed, whose husband came to be a believer and... but passed away, and she just wanted to honor him, so took her children to Sunday school, and mm-hmm. she tells the story of how she was just belligerent, and just she would take notes because she was going to disprove everything that the pastor said, and she would go to ladies' Bible studies, and she was going to, you know, just really rail against the people that decided they were going to speak out, and she was just going to, she said she was just angry, and but over the course of time, their love broke her down. Their patience and kindness and gentleness and love just really broke through all of those barriers that she had put up. And you know, she came to know Christ as her Savior. And she
said at the same time she wanted to disprove the Bible, but the gospel just kept breaking through.
Kept breaking through the good news. I mean, and that's again lived out in the lives of people. And I, one of the things that I just had the note on there was that, it, you know, she says that phrase, and again, this over time, you know, that over the course of time, these things broke through.
Yeah.
And my thought was, you know, at any one moment, you know, somebody could have ruined that, right? I mean, if they had not lived out Christ in front of them, if they had not been patient, if they had returned in anger, if they had, you know, it could have damaged that opportunity. And but they were faithful to just continue to love her and be patient with her, and even in her belligerence, I mean, in anger, and you know, the gospel broke through. And I mean, I just and then she talks about again. The idea here is that the gospel changes everything. Well, then, you know, she's a chef and she likes to cook, and then suddenly all those things became kingdom valuable.
Yeah.
And she uses those to benefit the church and benefit ministries and the people, and she uses those things to serve. And that's one thing that in our church we try to tell our people all the time. Everything in your life is kingdom valuable. I mean, I love golf. It's kingdom valuable. It's a chance to build relationships. So, you know, so to see that lived out in her life, suddenly she recognized my his purpose.
Yeah.
You know, what I do matters not just for me, but it matters to the kingdom. And I mean,
I just
love those stories, man. They impact me so much.
It was an amazing story. And and to remember, I in the Middle East especially, they're so careful not to share locations mm-hmm. and names or tied to a specific missionary, but for us to remember that behind the scenes of that are the BMA churches in the Middle Eastern countries and the missionaries who are working there. And making disciples in those countries.
Absolutely.
We definitely want to remember them in the background.
Absolutely. And pray for them, because those are not, you know, they're, like he said, I mean, it's not like here in so many places where we're just so easily open, you know, and yet they're so faithful
they
to
are.
Make sure that they share the gospel. Yeah. And then
comes back to relationship.
Absolutely.
The next story is in Nigeria. And, man, we're all seeing the news and realizing.
Yes.
And a few years ago, Nigeria elects their first Muslim president. And the Muslims are just taking over the northern regions and just the Christians who are being killed and persecuted within that country. And so the mission department shares a story with us. Man, another good story of the life change. Yeah.
The gospel's still at work.
This time we know the missionary. It's our BMA missionary in Nigeria, brother Joseph.
Mm.
And I definitely probably butcher his last name. But I've heard great things of brother Joseph there in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. But cool story, Chris.
Yeah, his story, I mean, obviously, I mean, the title of it is Once a Wizard, Now a Witness. Mm. And I mean, the son of... as you said earlier, I think you impacted a little better. I mean,
son of a witch doctor, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whose family expected him to follow suit, and so literally went through ritual to place a demon within him as a boy, And this man, you know, grew with that, with this notion, you know, I mean, just satanic as he would describe it. His life was just destroyed. I mean, he was alcohol and drugs. He floated. He tried several different careers, became a driver. And one night, driving drunk, had convinced himself that he could. That the demon would make him invisible if he were to be in a car accident, which wasn't the story. He was in a horrible car accident, and I mean, was broken and bloody, and said that his body left him. He has a story of an encounter where he's confronted, and as soon as he comes back, he asks and is carried to a local church where he hears the gospel for the first time, and his life is totally transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not only saved, but this man is changed and is impacted by this story. I believe his name is Akeem Ayuba, 29 years old in this story. But just the gospel's impact in Nigeria.
I love the... Basically, the last thing is Jesus took my brokenness, my broken, sinful life, and gave me a new beginning.
Yeah.
And for that, I will praise him forever.
Amen. Amen.
And he sure will, won't he?
Absolutely.
He sure will.
Forever.
Because, you know, this body's going to go, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, and John David had mentioned, and I'd want to remind y'all that February 22nd is World Mission Day. Make sure you keep that Sunday on your calendar.
22nd.
That's the day for the special offering for world missions and the special emphasis in our churches on that day.
Yeah, yeah, and they're always willing to come. I mean, if first come, first serve, I'm sure. But
now's the time to build those invitations with a missionary. Yes.
Yeah, with a missionary and be able to get that on the deal. So last one that they have is always Life Word, and certainly not least. I mean, amazing ministry, proclaiming the gospel over. You know, you started out as the airwaves, but now, I mean, doing such a good job of using social media and the internet to reach places that, and he talks about here, the stories of it just, echoing through, houses, they turn on the radio and these things, and one fellow just hears it, gives his life to Christ through the ministry of hearing it in a way that he wouldn't have been able to hear otherwise in a Hindu culture where he was
a Hindu man from Tanzania in this particular story. Yes, who hears and responds to the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. And amazing ministry, always opportunities to partner with them. And I know Brother Donnie would love to come and share anytime you wanted him at your church. And just an amazing, amazing ministry. And it's one that I think practically a lot of people can get behind because they can see where their money's going and seeing how it's impacting the world. Yeah. And so we have a lot of people, even in our church, that can give to that. You know, they see that and they see the fruit of that. And so it's a really powerful ministry opportunity, giving opportunity as well.
Using those little devices that are very distracting
to
share the gospel, right?
Kingdom valuable, man. I'll tell you what, everything's kingdom valuable.
Sure
if we just let it be, right? So the next one is builders building bunks.
Yeah. Builders building bunks.
Man, this is an update from the Master Builders organization of the BMA. If you're not familiar with the Master Builders, it's a group of mostly retired men, couples, who help churches and mission points and BMA ministries with construction. Man, they have had such impact over the years. Man, in this article, it says that they just finished their 196th project, and their expectation in 2026 is that they're going to get to celebrate their 200th project. Yeah, in this article, they were rebuilding the bunks at Daniel Springs, making them bigger. Man, we all appreciate that.
Thank you, Master Builders,
for making the bunks a bit larger at Daniel Springs, Daniel's Dorm. That's a wonderful thing.
They didn't build them for the kids.
No,
that's right.
I promise you, I guarantee that. So if you've ever been to camp, the older I get, the more I appreciate a good bunk. I'm going to tell you right now, because my body does not take kindly to some of those old bunks and those the ones that sag, and you got the spring in there. So I appreciate a good bunk.
And their work matters so much to Daniel Springs, so much to Jacksonville College. I don't know how many times they've been on that campus working on it. And man, this year one of their big projects was at Brooklyn Baptist Church in Brooklyn, Texas. Man, they just finished out a beautiful Family Life Center gymnasium there with like a youth building upstairs. And I just couldn't believe the work that was done there. To me, it paralleled. I watched the Master Builders build Centro de Vida Church in Tyler, and that is a beautiful worship center that they put together there. But always impressed with the work that they do.
Absolutely. And what I love, you know, when they send in their articles about it, you know, they always share, you know, everything that they did, you know, the meals that were provided, people that came and visited them. I always love that, you know, when people come on and you know, even if you can help for a day or whatever, just to go and be a part of it. But the wives, you know, get together. They do Bible studies during their time. I mean, it's such a great ministry. But the ladies even packed shoe boxes this time, you know, for the Christmas shoe boxes. Yeah. And so they were excited about that. And
by the way, those shoe boxes just got delivered.
Yes, they did.
Wendy Garcia got back here today, has been in Guatemala helping pass out shoe boxes.
Yep.
What exciting. In the mountains of Guatemala, they were given those gifts out.
I saw some of those pictures.
And the Master Builders were part of that.
Yeah, it was beautiful, So it's very cool. But I'm thankful for what the Master Builders do. And I know that, you know, if you have projects, there are certain things that they can do. And so just contact them. There's always at the bottom, there's always names that you can give, get in contact with if you're interested in having your help with anything.
Brother Mike Green is definitely a local here to Hatchie. He lives right here in town. His number's at the bottom here.
Okay. Absolutely. So,
It's one of those ministries that you get to see a product when you're done.
Absolutely. You know? Amen to that. So. We love that for sure. So, that brings us to the auxiliaries page and, you know, always hearing from the WMA. Yeah. And, you know, as we started out the podcast talking about our sponsor this month is the Texas GMAs. And so they have something that they wanted to really highlight this month. And it was they're hosting their annual statewide girls retreat. And the theme is going to be Come to the Table. And it's going to be March 13th through 14th in 2026, obviously. And it's going to be at Daniel Springs Camp there in Gary. And registration is open until February 16th, and it's just $45 a person. You can get lodging and t-shirt, breakfast, lunch, all those things. And if you're a church group, a mom or a girl in that age range, or if you just want to find a place where your girls can grow spiritually and build lasting friendships, they say, this is for you. You can contact them, get a hold of them, and get more information at texasgma.org. And so super excited about that. I got to speak at one of the retreats one time there at Daniel Springs, and so it was exciting, man. I tell you what, I love what they do. And
you ever meet a Texas GMA, you have met a special young lady who has been discipled.
Absolutely, and I think that's at the core of it. True. I mean, and just discipling them to become the women that God has called them to be, and that is something that we so desperately need, you know, godly young women who are willing and faithful to live out their faith in a world that doesn't necessarily honor that. Not necessarily, doesn't honor that at all anymore. Yeah. And so our culture is almost completely counter to that. And so to have an organization that's committed to helping our young ladies, you know, again, I think together learn to live that out as peers, to be strengthened by one another and those that are discipling them and pouring them in and show what it means to be a godly woman in our culture. I think it's so powerful.
Yeah. We really need a cover like Vogue that talks about the biblical woman.
Yeah,
yes,
you know, absolutely. And I'm mentioning it because Greg Laurie, I think it was, had basically a joke. He put a magazine cover together, and it was talking about being that biblical woman.
Yes,
given
yes.
all these little read this page, and that's what's coming out of this is women, girls who are growing up to follow Christ and be a part of that.
Thank you, GMAs, for making today's podcast possible.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Honored to have you guys be the sponsor today. Yeah. And so thankful for what God's doing in you and through you. So keep it up.
And proud of you. And hey, the Texas WMA project, WMA raising funds for the TBHC right now.
That's right. Highlight of this time, right?
That's right. Oh, I mean, hey, listen, this has been such an incredible blessing. Every single time I've had the chance to go talk at one of their meetings, they say, well, we exceeded our goal. And it's just such a blessing because we get to see that again and again, how God is blessing. So they have a goal to reach $30,000 for us. They're going to exceed that goal.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? just thank y'all. Thank you so much for blessing us. I know that we will have some fruits of your labor on the campus to see. It won't be finished. That is pretty much guaranteed at this moment, but we're excited to show y'all what we've got, and it's a sign. So in case you can't read the progress, it's a sign, y'all, and we're excited about that. But they've continued to just bless us, and you can see that they've prayed for us every single month of these issues, and that's meant so much to us. And just inviting people to be a part of what we're doing beyond giving, you know, lifting us up to the Lord, lifting up our families, what God's doing. And we're just, honestly, it's a well-deserved praise the Lord for what the GMA have done in a modest fundraiser, right? And, you know, I say the word modest. That's not a small amount of money. Mm-hmm. But the effort behind that is so appreciated, and I think it'll have everlasting consequences. So.
Amen.
I was blessed in their article just by how they gave all glory to the Lord. I mean, they worked so hard.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, it would be so easy for them to say, look what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, in this article, they're just praising God for all that He's done this year.
Yep.
Not only, you know, through the fundraiser, but through the ministry of Texas Baptist Home. And doesn't prayer lead to praise?
That's right.
But you know, I'll say, man, our you know, we belong to God. Our churches belong to God.
Right.
The ministries that exist because the churches cooperate
belong
to God. We don't build them. We don't really manage them. They're not ours to protect. Mm-hmm. God is just at work.
That's right.
And so I got a special blessing just out of the last paragraph of their article this month.
It is a beautiful prayer.
Praising the Lord. Prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need to make time to do that because He is worthy of praise. And even when things don't go well, He's still worthy of praise. But
sure is.
Boy, He's definitely worthy of praise because things are going well in so many areas of BMA life. And I think that's what's so exciting. And we see God moving in almost every area of our ministry as, you know, the BMA of Texas, that God is just moving and working and doing amazing things, and it's so exciting to be a part of, and I'm so thankful.
And the praise and the prayer needs to be that we can see it, because He always is.
He always is. Good.
Yeah. But, you know, we just need to see it.
Let's just open your eyes.
That's the prayer request.
Absolutely.
We all need to see it, but the praise is that He always is.
Yes, He always is.
And yet, a ministry with the history ours has, I mean, you know, we're 125 years old and celebrating that. Mm-hmm. There is the ebb and flow of ministry.
Yes.
And man, just we're in a season where we're seeing God do so many, just seeing Jacksonville College only increase, seeing the BMA growing, seeing missions growing, seeing you guys expanding and progressing in a new territory.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's exciting.
It is. And you know, to the theme that seems to be this unofficial theme of the issue of this over time, you know, that, you know, it just, some of these things just take time to see the fruit of, but to be faithful, to praise God, even when we don't see it,
He's still worthy of praise.
He's at work.
He's at work, and
He's moving. We can't see it. But God is at work and things are happening. And,
that's good.
You know, just that we would be faithful until those opportunities, we get to see it. And then we're like, yay, God. So, and to make sure that we're giving praise where praise is due. So, so that brings us really nearly close to the end here. Our events, looking forward to some things. You know, obviously, I think by the time this comes out, if you watch it right off the bat, you know, we won't have had the state meeting yet, but which will be next week, the 17th and 18th.
We're
looking forward to that, having everybody here at Pathway. Hopefully everybody can make it. It's going to be a great time of celebration.
Yep.
You know, just again, a birthday celebration for us as, you know, 125th anniversary. Yep. And so exciting things on the agenda for those things. And
come come grab dinner Monday
absolutely.
Evening.
Absolutely, Monday
yeah,
evening.
TBHC, yeah, TBHC hosting a dinner safe. On mm-hmm. campus for yep, everyone
absolutely.
At the meeting.
Yeah, and the you know part of that sign will be up, and so
part of that sign will be up.
But you know, plans for I mean, it's awesome.
That, listen, the foundation will be laid.
Yes, let's do that.
We'll make foundation. It very biblical. There.
Yeah, that's right.
The foundation.
It's good. It's a solid foundation.
That's right.
And we're going to build on that.
Yeah. Excited about the state meeting. We
yes,
really are.
It's
and
really
if
great.
You haven't decided yet, come. You're come.
Yeah.
TBHC is such a focus in breakouts and, mm-hmm. And their ministry to the local church
yeah.
will be on their campus. It's also the 125th celebration. Yeah. And on top of that, man, just the business and the work of the cooperating churches. We're excited yeah. about the state meeting.
Yeah, and we'll be doing the leadership conference.
That's
so
right.
We'll be doing that part of it.
Yeah.
So we'll get to have a little conversation about you know, life, man.
Yeah,
so
that's
exciting
right.
how God
I'm excited about that too.
It's gonna be awesome too. And so
I think next on our events, BMA of America meeting mm-hmm. is coming up in yep. April. Mm-hmm. And I wanna mention that to you. Let's see, it's in Conway, Arkansas this year at Antioch Baptist. There's so many new Texas churches. Mm-hmm. And if your church would like to be a part of BMA of America, I think the petitions are due in to the BMA of America by January. You have to have mm-hmm. those sent in so
yes.
that their committee can review and prepare. And so don't miss that deadline in January.
January, for sure. And then coming up for us at the state level will be, we've got a couple of things. The Baptist Progress is going to be putting on a leadership gathering at Jacksonville College. And so more details are coming for that as well. But we're going to then talk about specific ministry focuses and having some people teach on those things. And so it's exciting. So that's going to be called The Table. But it'll be at Jacksonville College on February 28th. And then the annual preaching conference that we've done. I think this is the fifth in a row, but I think six total maybe. Before COVID, I think pre-COVID,
had
we had one.
Before COVID, then a break.
That kind of sparked it. But I think fifth annual now on February 23rd through 24th. And got a great, it's going to be down there at Round Prairie again. And everybody invited to that. Look forward to seeing everybody. But we've got a great group of guys. And so, you know, there is an ad on that. So Drew Scott from Pennington Baptist is going to be there. Kyle Cheatham, one of our church planters down in Grace Church in Darrell. Jared Heimer, who's a pastor there, young pastor at First Baptist Church in Crossroads. Chris Mindy, one of our church planters down in Georgetown. Eric Johnson's going to be there from First Jacksonville. Preston Burton, good friend of mine from Union Hill, is going to be joining us from Brownsboro. Billy Bird, Oak Hill Baptist. We've got Jose Torres, one of our Hispanic church planters there, and Tyler's going to be with us. And then obviously our leader there, Heath Mitchell, is going to be preaching for us. And then I'm going to be kind of hosting and leading.
Yeah, not
gathering, so.
Definitely yeah. not obviously. That list kind of went downhill towards
no,
the end.
No, it's good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I love hearing you talk. So
yeah, you should have let me say, and then you too.
And then you too. Yeah, yeah. So. So we're just the add-on. We're just space fillers. So.
That's right.
But no, it's always a great time. And I just encourage people. I mean, if you haven't been pastors, man, I want to encourage you to come because every pastor that comes every year, it seems like they walk away going, I needed that. And I think, you know, the big challenge here is that so many times as pastors, we feed and we feed and we feed and we feed. And, you know, to have a moment that's really kind of pointed at us and to be able to be encouraged and challenged from our peers, from our brothers in the BMA, and, you know, to have some time to just sit and listen
yes.
and just take
so
in the word.
It
is. And we do some prayer times and just some fellowship times. And it's not just for pastors. And so pastors' wives and, you know, ministry, if you're there, just lay people, you just want to show up, we'd love to have you there.
Round Prairie takes such good care of us.
They do. They do an awesome job every year. It's so exciting to be down there with Chris George and his church. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time. And I just really hope everybody will be there. So
yes.
More details as far as the schedule and everything coming out soon. But put that on your calendar. So
we're to personnel and positions and in the progress. And I've had several people comment to me the last month, man, I've never seen this many churches looking for a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give an explanation to that. Up until historically, you could go on the BMA website and place pastor ads for free. But then there was a charge to place them in the progress. And so many of our churches chose to place those in on the BMA web, but chose not to put those in the Baptist progress. And we decided that in a time of a church looking for a pastor was not, we wanted to remove that fee. And so we did, and we're now publishing all of those that are on the BMA website. And that's the reason that all of a sudden you're seeing so many more.
Yes.
But these are real needs. And I hope this is a prayer request for you and your church. When you look over personnel and positions, and First Missionary Terrell, these are wonderful churches. Mm-hmm. Is a great bivocational church. I love Brother Buddy, who's been there so mm-hmm. long. Soda Baptist in Livingston, man, is a really cool full-time church kind of outside of Livingston, right near one of the only two Indian reservations in mm-hmm. Texas, cool. the Alabama Cashada Indian Reservation, just borders right there by Soda Baptist. Such ministry opportunity and history there. Yeah. Calvary Ennis, looking for a bivocational pastor. You know, Davis Street is on here, but they've got exciting news.
They do.
This last Sunday, they hired one of our own in the mission office. Todd West with Texas Missions is going to be entering into kind of an intentional interim restructuring with Davis Street that I think will likely carry for the next year. And mm-hmm. so they've entered into a season of real, you know, just work and restoration mm-hmm. and healing and focus. And so excited for Davis Street, a wonderful church. I was there just 2 weeks ago, just such wonderful, warm people. Let's see, Zion Hill Jasper is looking for a pastor. Crossroads Winsboro is seeking a pastor. Best homemade ice cream you've ever ate. Crossroads Church, Winsboro. Caney Streetman is a church that has just kind of stepped back into fellowship with the BMA over the last couple of months. We're going to be excited to see them at our state meeting. Mm-hmm. And this church is looking for a pastor right now. Somebody there in the Freestone area. And then First Baptist Palmer is looking for a youth pastor.
Yeah. And one that's not on here that they just called yesterday and asked was Fifth Street in Levelland is looking for a pastor again. So
Fifth Street Baptist in Levelland, wonderful church.
And we'll have that uploaded.
A little fond of that church.
I am,
You've been a youth pastor and pastor
youth
before,
haven't you? Pastor, and so right down the road from us. So, definitely. Come on out. I'll host you. Come on. We'd love to have you out there in West Texas.
And, hey, we want to welcome Sam Martin, new to the BMA and the new youth and outreach minister at Lakeridge Baptist Church in Lubbock.
Absolutely.
Excited for Lakeridge. Yeah. Excited for Sam.
Got to meet him and a couple of times over the last couple of months, and so super excited for them. I know they're really excited to have him on board, and so it's going to be good.
We have a memorial in here this time that affects so many in the BMA. Miss Annabelle Anderson, a dearly loved lady, who spent 40 years at Jacksonville College. She was the librarian there. Her husband, Brother Barnwell Anderson, was a history teacher on that campus. Just godly, sweet lady. Mm-hmm. And I know her home going was sweet, 91 years old, still lived right beside the campus, just faced her house the campus.
Wow.
And I think was just active and involved until the end. Had such a love for the school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we celebrate her home going.
Right across the street, to save the date, we had Jacksonville College one more time sent wanted us to save the date for April 11th of 2026 for the gala. They're going to put on a
scholarship gala,
and so more details
for that
are coming. But I know it'll be a great time. So look forward to that. And our picture page this time in the back, full of great pictures. Fall festivals, trunk or treats. We just came off of that season.
Oh,
and lots
yeah.
of candy and way too much junk. It was good. I hope everybody had found a good place to serve and eat some candy and have some fun. But we had lots of churches send in some pics in there.
I love to see this. I love to see these just these just activity pictures from our churches. And I think this time I heard Old Center Tenahaw is in several of these pictures. South Park in Fort Worth is in here. Union Hill.
Yep.
Is in here. Pathway Waxahachie's in here. First Baptist Carthage is in here.
Yeah, everyone.
Man, thank y'all for sharing.
Yeah.
And what amazing pictures of just unbelievable events in the life of our churches.
Absolutely. Making fun.
Yeah. Building relationships.
That's right. That's right.
Building those relationships. Yeah, so that brings us to the last page, and really just one more emphasis for the United Thanksgiving offering.
That's right.
And that comes up to in Sunday, November 23rd. Overall goal this year is going to be $125,000, and then maybe $1,500 from every church would be, we'd exceed that goal yes. by a bunch if we could. So,
oh, yeah.
So make that your goal, and obviously those benefit the departments. So, the BMA of Texas.
And this year's all special offering is dedicated in memorial to Mrs. Sandra Crank,
yes.
Wife of Dr. Edwin Crank, president of Jacksonville College for so many
yes.
years, and Miss Crank, just such a sweet and thought of lady at Jacksonville College.
Yeah.
That offering is split between the ministries of the BMA of Texas, and so the missions department, the Texas Baptist Home for Children, Jacksonville College, yeah. and the loan department, all receive all benefit from this shared offering.
Yeah,
a big part
of our budgets too.
A lot of our churches will just allow that Sunday offering to go to the United Thanksgiving offering. Some of the churches just take up a second special offering mm-hmm. for United Thanksgiving offering, but we just plead with you that your church would consider taking part in this special offering to help the ministries of the BMA of Texas.
I mean, it's just really a great opportunity to talk about all the work that each church is getting to be a part of and do indirectly or directly. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's a good day to celebrate.
Yes.
To be
really
thankful.
Is. Yeah. To be thankful for what God is doing in the BMA.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being a part of it. So final thoughts?
Just gratitude. Just appreciate all the work that we all get to be a part of.
Yes.
And God's personal calling on my life, but just illustrating all these pages, how much bigger an individual can make because we cooperate.
Yes.
Partner together.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're partner together, and God is working all around the world.
Yeah, and we're not alone in this alone, are we?
We're not.
We're part of something bigger. And I love being a part of the BMA.
Me too.
And I'm so thankful for what God's doing. And,
me too.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
We're thankful for some new churches organized this year,
absolutely.
And some churches that are planning to join the BMA.
Absolutely.
at our state meeting this year. Churches that say, "I want to be a part of this fellowship."
Yeah.
And so that's exciting.
It'll be exciting. So so that hopefully we'll see you guys at the state meeting in a couple of days.
Yeah.
By the time this goes out, but if not, God bless you. Continue on. And,